This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Wrestling Network, welcome to episode number 11 of Wrestling Chicken Salad. My name's Ben Locke, and I am here, as always, with my two co-hosts. First of all, a man who, although he is quite young, is somehow going to expand our chicken salad family up by one. It's everybody's favourite dirty little Crosland Logan. How are you, my friend? And congratulations, because I don't think we have said it officially on the air.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I'm, according to Sean, I'm bringing a monstrosity into this world. But thank you very much. Thank you very much.
You're right. You know, I can give out a bit of nice praise. You know, stop. Is a man so old? He's having to take a 3-week break because it's going to take him that long to travel to and from. It's the king of the shit take himself. It's Sean Kidd.
You know, I would have thought I would have got congratulations, too, for becoming a first-time grandfather, but no, I get that it's going to take me 3 weeks to get somewhere. But good evening, Ben. How are you this evening?
Well, yes. I've got to give a bit of praise out, you know, and then somebody's going to take the abuse, Sean. You know how it is around here.
Yeah, always Sean taking the abuse.
I can feel myself giving you like the virtual hug from here.
Yeah, I don't want your fucking hug.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, you try me nice. And that's what you get.
Well, I had to come in hot. You know, we're getting all sentimental there. I had to come in hot. Sorry, Ben.
You know, that's fine. I'll take the abuse. That's not a problem. I'm used
no
to
wonder
it.
They put you. No wonder they put you by yourself at WrestleMania.
So. Yeah, that's right. No wonder I'm by myself. That's right.
All by himself. Sorry.
that was very mean, Logan. By the way,
I'm just kidding, Sean.
Mm-hmm. Very cranky, isn't he, Logan? Very cranky. Just a little. You know, he should be so happy. He should be so happy about his first grandchild and the fact he is going to WrestleMania, you know. But this is the attitude we're getting.
I am very happy for my first grandchild. I'm very happy to be going to WrestleMania.
There you go. There it is. That's much better. Thank you, Sean.
You're welcome.
And as we've mentioned, we are still in WrestleMania season. So therefore, we've invited another special guest to join us. He's a man you can hear on a whole myriad of pods here on the Place to Be Network and the North South Collection. He is known to be Logan's student on one of those podcasts, but tonight he will hopefully be teaching us all a thing or two about relatively modern WWE, because let's face it, none of us really know what's going on around there. It's Jambalaya Jake Williams. Jake, how are you?
I'm good. You guys are a barrel of sunshine, as usual, here. Everyone's so positive. I'm trying to trace the lineage here. Even being from the Deep South as I am, which is known for some twisted family trees, I'm trying to trace, you know, the connection as to how Logan's child becomes Sean's grandchild. But I'm just gonna play it.
Is Mary Povich or Jerry Springer still on the air? Can we get them there now?
The DNA test, Sean.
Don't kill the gimmick, Jake. Just don't break kayfabe.
Oh, sorry. All right. Sorry, I should expose the business like that.
Jake, Sean Jake's Kidd, gonna you are do not that. The grandfather.
Jake's going to do that thing now that our other two guests have done, where they're really happy to begin with, and then we get blamed for the show that they're about to review and talk to us about, and then their mood just steadily goes down as the night goes on. So I can only apologize, Jake, because tonight was my fault for the show we are watching, which is, if you haven't already read the bio, is WrestleMania 27. So we are going back, gentlemen, 10 years, where The Miz was a major part of a WWE title match. Edge was also in the other WWE title match. And the John Morrison was in a tag match with a celebrity entrance. It's good to see things have moved on in 10 years, isn't it? really good. Sorry.
Somehow Morrison downgraded from Snooki to Bad Bunny, so... I don't know how that happened, but here we are.
So it's time for Sean's favorite bit of the show. But Sean, it'll be relatively okay tonight because, you know, our guests will be sort of old enough to drink at this stage. So, you know, we'll be all right. So live memories of this show, Jake. Did you watch WrestleMania 27 live at the time?
I did not watch this live at the time, and I actually think this viewing is the first time I've ever watched this in full. I mean, I've seen some of the marquee matches, you know, out of context a little bit, but I have to say, if I had to pick anything that is probably my most, like, my darkest period as far as knowledge of WWE, it would be this, because I'm sort of in the camp of people who maybe started paying a little bit closer attention again, with the Punk stuff that would come very soon after this, which is hard to separate from the show, which I'm sure we may talk about. But yeah, I was, like I said, probably the least locked in I've ever been on WWE at this time. I was, so this would have been like middle of college for me. I would have been like 20, 21 at this point. But yeah, so this was pretty, just the whole, like, where they were as a company here, I'm kind of familiar with, but definitely was not locked in at the time by any means.
I am actually, apart from the middle college bit, I'm actually quite similar to you, because I definitely remember getting Royal Rumble, but I did not watch this WrestleMania live. And I don't think I got properly dialed back into the company until the pipe bomb hit. So that's about 2 or 3 months away at the moment. So Logan, did you watch this live?
Yes, I did. I didn't start ordering pay-per-views till 07, so I pretty much got me and my friend Lewis, that's on highway to the Impact Zone with all of us. We started like trading houses. We would watch one at his and, you know, one at mine. So at this point, we were juniors in high school, I think. So, yeah, we got all the pay-per-views pretty much, and our parents hated us for it. But, you know, we were good.
If I can interject real quick, because I think it's interesting as we go through the show, too, is that we're getting closer to it, but you are like, you're still paying like pay-per-view price. And I think by this point, was it WrestleMania like pretty expensive by this point, like more like in the $60 to $70 range?
Yeah, I think it was 60 if I remember correctly, but yeah, it was pretty expensive. Like I said, our parents hated us a little bit, but we were mostly good kids, so they let it slide.
Important context for this mania, I think, you know,
yeah, that
you were still paying like, you weren't paying like $10 like you do now or whatever.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, because I mean, even over here, like I was bulking at paying £20, never mind $60. Sean, well, had the kids arrived yet at this age? Were you allowed to watch this?
Oh yeah, I was 38 at this time and already had kids. And I did watch this live. I was in the basement. I was in my first house. Well, the second house I ever owned, my first like full house. I moved from a townhouse, and I was actually had moved states and moved to West Virginia. And I remember ordering this and watching it in my basement. And, you know, I didn't really follow wrestling too much in 2011. 2010 was such a terrible year. And I kind of watched it in passing. And, of course, I heard The Rock was coming back. And, you know, much to everybody, you know, probably what most people think, I don't hate The Rock. It's just certain things about The Rock I don't like, but I didn't hate The Rock. So I thought it added a little spark to the WWE at the time and what they needed to kind of kickstart things. And I thought that would be kind of an interesting thing to have them come back. So yeah, I went ahead and purchased it and watched it, and I regretted it by the time it was over.
Which we will get into right now. So let's go to the Georgia Dome in Atlanta, Georgia, for WrestleMania 27. We open with Kerry Hilson singing America the Beautiful. Gents, you'll have to help me with her. Is she like an American Idol person? I'm guessing like a reality TV person.
I had no idea who she was. In fact, I don't know if you ever saw the TV show The Facts of Life at any point, but I thought it was I actually thought it was Tootie from The Facts of Life singing this because I had no idea who this woman was.
Yeah, but if you guys don't know, I don't know either. So yeah, she's an American Beautiful. It was very nice, but you know, it wasn't the most. It wasn't the best dish.
Can I ask a question about? Can I ask a question about the national anthems? I want to know why all these singers come out and try to do these renditions, and then they prolong the words like it's supposed to make the song, like they just prolong, you know, whatever verse they want, and it's supposed to be this great national anthem. I actually thought this national anthem was pretty bad.
Yeah, well, let me interject real quick too. I think at points she got so ahead of the music, like her earphone wasn't working or something like that, so she had to stretch out the word to catch back up with where the music was. Because I think at one point she got off key, so she tried to like stretch it out to catch back up.
I just noticed a lot of people stretch it out when they do this song. It wasn't just it's just. I don't get it. It's like, oh, that's a great national anthem. I'm like, no, that was really shit. I don't really understand.
Yeah, at some point she got off key, and I think she was just trying to catch up. So she, like, stretched a word out here, and, you know, something was wrong with her earpiece, I think. So.
Gotcha. I just wanted to make sure it wasn't me, so thank you.
No, but I definitely get where you're coming from at the same time, too.
I am looking at her Wikipedia page as we speak. Apparently she's from Georgia, so that's why they obviously had her there.
Mm-hmm.
Singer, songwriter, and record producer and actress, although I could not name you any song or any film or anything she's been in.
National anthem at WrestleMania 27. There you go.
That'll do. So after that, we then start the show with an appearance from our host for the night, The Rock. After a very late night talk show musical intro, which I thought, Rock doesn't need to say a thing because he's already got the crowd eating out the palm of his hand. He cuts a promo targeting John Cena and his Fruity Pebbles t-shirts. Now, Sean, as much as I love The Rock, he is basically out here filling for time as he runs through his catchphrases and basically says nothing of note for 15 minutes. Yeah,
you said late night. I put game show sounding announcer. It's kind of the same thing. You know, and then The Rock's in his jumpsuit, so I was having flashbacks to 1999 when he had the boob surgery, so I was wondering if maybe he had another breast surgery before he walked out in this outfit again. And it was a really long intro, just a bit. I mean, I don't know how much detail you want me to go into, but it was a big wank fest, and the Fruity Pebbles stuff didn't work, and I just thought it was really bad. And the one thing I don't like about The Rock is when he's scripted, and there's so much scripted Rock in this show. It takes away from the feel because The Rock was best when he wasn't scripted, and this is bad. Like, this is really, really bad. And as excited as I was for him to come back after this, I was ready to go right back out, just to be perfectly honest.
This is like the first segment of the show, Jake, and it's the very definition of filler, in particular that yabba-dabba bit.
Yeah, for sure. I felt like his music played for 15 straight minutes. Like, they must have, like, they had to add, like, 14 guitar solos onto his song because he just moseys on down that ramp forever, and then he kind of poses in the ring. But, yeah, I mostly agree. It was not – it's like Sean said, it's not peak Rock. Cheap plug on Ruthlessly Aggressive Podcast on North South Connection feed. I've been talking a lot about Rock in his 2002 summer run where he's, like, killing it. And this is so far removed from that. It's because he doesn't have his edge here, like Sean said. It comes off as very scripted, very he comes like he's very pandering. Where a lot of times Rock is very good at kind of playing to the crowd, but not being pandering. Where here I feel like is very pandering, like, hey crowd, I love you, you love me, sort of thing. And it everything he said, to Sean's point, there was really no substance to it. And so it's like there was no substance, and it really wasn't that entertaining. So it kind of felt like filler, and it felt like they were making it to be like we're just supposed to be happy to see him, which I'm sure at the time people were because he had been gone for a pretty long time at this point, but they were kind of just being going, hey, look, it's The Rock. You love him. And then everything else he did didn't really have to matter that much.
And am I right in saying as well, Think about it. Is this like the first time they've done the host gimmick?
Like, you know. Yeah, I want to say yes.
Mm-hmm. So they were working out the kinks out of that, but yeah, there was no need for this to go 15 minutes at all. We then follow that interview with The Rock with an, I thought, a really good opening package focusing on WrestleMania's past and the matches that were the big matches that were coming tonight. It also reminded me that the theme tune to this show was written in the stars by Tiny Temper, who you guys will not know at all, but he was quite big over here for a time period around sort of 2010, 2012-ish. So I love that song. So that will probably get into the show at the end or in the break somewhere. Before we get to the first match tonight, though, I'm going to pass things over to Logan because he's got some stats about run times and things like that to go through. So, Logan, it's all yours.
All right. So I took down some notes on some stats about some times to start this show. So The Rock comes out at 3:38. He doesn't start speaking until 7:21. So it takes him 4 whole minutes to walk around the ring and walk down to the ring and pose and all that stuff. He then leaves the ring at 13:40, so he talks for about 6 minutes. It then takes 4 more minutes for the first match entrances to even start. Then it takes 5 more minutes for all of them to come out and all that, and the intros to start at 22:32. And the bell finally rings for the first match at 23:24.
Mm.
So I just wanted to point all of that out before we started this first match.
And that is very scary, because you want to know what our first match is for the World Heavyweight title between Edge and the challenger, Alberto Del Rio. My first note, Logan, actually says, first match only takes 17 minutes to get to. Underlined 17 minutes.
Yeah, just an absurd waste of time to start the show, but I guess you wanted to hype the crowd up, so...
I'll stick with you, Logan, talking about this match. So obviously this is Edge's last match for 9 years, and watching it with the benefit of hindsight, it's kind of a bit, I don't know if you felt the same way, like a bit scary to watch some of the spots he was taking in this.
Yeah, I was going to say anything that kind of focused towards his neck was kind of scary to look at, because, you know, it was really, really badly damaged at this point. But I thought this was a pretty solid back and forth match. Edge doesn't sell his arm is injured, obviously, and that's Del Rio's finisher is an arm bar, but Edge doesn't really sell it that well, but Del Rio does focus on it most of the match. So I said Chad Campbell's in the crowd at this show, and he perked up when he saw the arm work going on, so he perked up in the crowd somewhere. Del Rio's character was awesome at this point. I really liked the Mexican millionaire thing that he had going, the aristocrat that had all the fancy cars and stuff like that. I liked the personal ring announcer that he had. Ricardo Rodriguez did a good job at that. I liked that Edge had Christian, and Del Rio kind of had Brodus Clay, who had been his NXT rookie. So I liked that they each kind of had a guy on each of their side. And I made a note on the commentary team is Jerry Lawler, Michael Cole, and Josh Matthews. And then I said, one of these things is not like the other. but yeah, it was good to see Edge go out with a Mania win. But I also made another time note that the second match in this card doesn't start till almost 40 minutes in. So that's a little insane. But I went 3 stars on this one just because I thought it was a solid opener. But the selling of the arm could have been a little bit better on Edge's side.
Yeah, definitely. Jake, like Logan said, though, they used all the guys in the ring, the 5 guys around the ring and the ref. I thought they really interlinked quite well together. There was no obvious breaks or distractions going on.
Yeah, I think they were, how do you say that, economical with the way they used kind of extra people, like using Christian and Brodus Clay, apparently. Was that this match? Yeah, Brodus Clay was around.
Yeah.
Yes, because he eats the DDT. But yeah, I'm kind of with Logan. I like the limb work a lot. Actually, I've always enjoyed Del Rio in the ring. I always like his stuff in the ring. I think his stuff always looks pretty legit, like his kicks and stuff. He has like a legitimacy to him that I really like. And I kind of hate to rag on Edge because it being his last match and all. And I'm not saying he was terrible. It's just, I would say of the two guys, he was sort of the weak link in the match because I thought the stuff that Del Rio was putting together, and this was really awesome. Like, my whole thing with this match is I feel like they had like a good template, but it just wasn't quite executed in a way to elevate it maybe to the next level. It was like, to me, a good match that could have definitely been great if they just had done a few things differently. Like, you know, like, I thought when Edge kind of got on top at one point, it kind of slowed down a bit and got a little bit monotonous. But then every time Del Rio was on top, I thought it was great. And sort of just the finish that he just, like Logan sort of mentioned, he kind of no-sells the arm in the at the end of the match when he reverses it. And then he kind of just gets a spear out of nowhere. So to me, the finish didn't really play into anything they had done before. You know, I feel like if you build the story around that, you have to make it matter in some way. And they really focused the whole match on that. I just thought it could have been more like they could have built it better to that finish. It kind of just seemed like they wanted to make Del Rio look good, but then you want Edge to win. So he just pops a spear at the end and there you go. But I still went 3 on it because it was still pretty good. But just I feel like it could have easily been much better.
Yeah, it definitely felt like a match where they were sort of in third gear and cruising, but they could have gone to that high level if they ever wanted to. Sean, as well as the match, how about the entrances as well? Like Metal English is just a great tune for Edge, and what happened to that Rolls Royce was a crime. I'm sorry. An absolute crime.
The entrance is great. I'm like with Jake, I was a big fan of Del Rio. I talked about how in 2010 going into 2011, there wasn't a whole lot to be happy with, but I think one of the things I really did enjoy was Alberto. I loved his gimmick. I thought he did it really well. I thought he was a solid wrestler. It almost felt like a fresh, almost updated spin to the Million Dollar Man gimmick a little bit, but kind of up the ante a little bit. And I also love his, like, he had a silver robe and neck scarf on, the Rolls Royce that you talked about. And we also, I think we forgot to mention that Cole was in total hero mode here. And again, I forgot how annoying it was. And then he was also in the coal mine, which was absolutely, absolutely ridiculous.
Ahead of his time.
Absolutely. He was about 9 years early on the coal mine. But I also forgot about Brodus Clay being there. And then I remembered two things about this match going into it. When I saw it live, I thought Christian was going to go heel. And I also thought Alberto was going to win the match. So when the match went on, and you know, and there was really some good stuff here. There was one spot where Alberto missed Edge and just like went outside, like through the ropes, that looked really, really savage. And there was a nice like top rope arm drag from Del Rio. There was a lot of good moves in this, and I kind of liked how the finish was kind of out of nowhere because it kind of surprised me a little bit. But I actually enjoyed this match quite a bit, and I also went 3 stars. And it's kind of scary looking back some of the stuff that Edge did in this, knowing what would happen the next night. So, but I really enjoyed it too. I went 3 stars.
Yeah, I went 3 as well. And this would have been a really good start to the show if it had started the show and not been like 20 minutes after the show actually started. but you know, we'll get on to times and all that kind of stuff as we're going. We also, after the match, like I say, Edge and Christian destroy the Rolls Royce, which I am still going to say is, you know, one of the crimes of the century of all the cars to do that too. You pick a Rolls Royce. No, doesn't work. That does not work for me, brother. I'm sorry. So after the match, Michael Cole from the coal mine decides to cut a promo on Jerry Lawler. And then Lawler talks for each and every one of us by calling Cole a moron. Thanks a lot, Jerry. But it's a running theme of these first 4 matches of just them two sniping each other. Like, whose bright idea was it to have, you know, them two commentating before the match? You know, Sean, would you have done something like that?
Yeah, listen, the only note I made here was, I made one note. I really hate 2011 Michael Cole. That's what I wrote. That's all I wrote about that whole thing.
I think we'll get into more detail when we get to the match later on. Our next match, though, pits Cody Rhodes against Rey Mysterio. This is as a result of Rey breaking Cody's nose, so he is no longer dashing, sadly. He's entering his Doctor Doom phase. Jake, I had high hopes for this match, but particularly in the first half, there was something missing. It was just too slow, too pedestrian. But at least we got that great Captain America outfit out of Rey.
Yeah, I agree. It was kind of, I thought, like, I kind of like the Cody look here, and I sort of feel like he has a little bit of the character down, but it was in the ring. It wasn't quite there, and I feel like he was trying to do this sort of methodical kind of, I don't know how to say it, like, crazy guy a little bit, and that's what he was trying to put off, but it didn't work well in the ring. Like, I feel like he was trying to put the character into how he was wrestling, but then when he was on top, it would get really slow for a while. Like, there was one stretch in there where he was, I guess it was kind of like a little heat segment on Ray, and it got really, really slow. But I did like his character. Like, he does a lot of, like, staring off and, like, looking like a weirdo a lot, which is what he's going for. So his character works there, but he couldn't quite, like, meld it into being an engaging wrestler at the same time. And also the crowd was just dead for this match. And this is something that kind of is going to come up a lot through the show. And that's the crowd, who I feel like wants to get into stuff, but, and it maybe it's going to be like, well, we keep talking about the pacing, but they were definitely dead right here. But I did sort of like the ending of the match, how they brought in the mass stuff and the versus the knee brace and all. That was at least more interesting than what they did in the minute in the beginning of the match. But yeah, overall the match just came off a little bland to me, and it kind of, like I said, because the crowd was dead, as Cody's like methodically wearing him down, and then Ray's kind of firing up and doing his comebacks, but they kind of fall flat because the crowd is not biting on it. And I don't know if that's because they were bored with Cody's offense or what, but it kind of just made the whole match seem a little meh. But it also wasn't like actively bad or anything. It was just sort of, it was there, but it's like, yes, two guys that I really think are capable of more. But I went 2.25 on it. To me, the most interesting thing was the whole mass knee brace deal at the end.
Absolutely. Sure. As Jake and me have both said, like, the first half is pretty boring, but everything from that super vertical suplex on, I thought was really good.
Yeah, I know Jake likes it. I was not a big fan of this whole Phantom of the Opera gimmick. I also thought, like, when he came out to the ringside, he looked like a great value Jedi in his leather coat. I did not like this Cody. He just looks, you know, the reason why they gave him this gimmick is because he looked very generic. And, you know, I don't know if you ever heard, like, the joke they always made about him not wearing knee pads or anything and how, like, boring he looked. He just had no look. And that's why they did this with him. And I also didn't like the angle of him getting hurt. Like, he had this disfigured face from a 619. I just didn't like that. I love the Captain America cosplay. I did, like you brought up, there's some good stuff in here. I did like the stalling suplex. I thought that was a really cool visual. There was a Rey Mysterio arm drag to the outside from Cody's shoulder that looked really good. A falling back suplex from the corner by Cody that looked really good. So there was some good stuff in it. And I guess the finisher made sense, but it was just an okay match for me. And then, of course, there was Michael. There was one point that the crowd was actually cheering for Cody over Ray. I don't know if you caught that. Yes. They were saying, yeah, so they were kind of over Ray shit, too. And then Michael Cole, when Cody hit the crossroads, was yelling crossroads like JR would when he said Stone Cold, Stone Cold, and Cole was going out of his mind, which was stupid. But anyway, I went 2.25 stars, just like Jake. The second half of it was a lot better than the first half, but yeah, it's just kind of a blah match for me.
Yeah, I went 2.25 as well because I just thought, like, they just basically count bounce each other out. The first part was that boring and that shit. The second part could only get it pretty much to average. And like I say, Logan, you know, you see these two on paper and they should be delivering like a 3.5 star match in their sleep. So something was badly missing at the start here.
Yeah, definitely. It took a while to get started for sure. And I like that Rhodes was kind of aggressive throughout the whole match. He kind of played that maniac, like kind of like Jake was saying with the whole mask and everything. I thought Ray's offense in this match was really it was really weird. He was going for the mask a lot, which is weird because he's the one that they usually go for the mask on. So, but he goes for it so much to where it kind of gets annoying, and he's kind of like a little 12-year-old bully that's kind of chasing a kid around the yard, trying to make fun of him because his face looks weird. That's kind of what I attributed it to, but it was just weird. But I went 2.25 as well. But yeah, this match just never seemed to get out of into that third gear. But the brace shot that he hits him with at the end is pretty brutal, and he hits a pretty good crossroads to finish it off. But yeah, just it never hit that next gear, I feel like, but it could have been a lot better. I'm sure of it.
You know what I've just realized? Like, we are equal on our star ratings for both these matches. But this means we're agreeing far too much, gents. This needs to stop. You know what happens on this pod? We don't agree on things. We need to stop this banter right now.
that's guardrail to guardrail over WrestleMania 9, so I don't know what's happening tonight.
Our third match of the night, though, evokes the spirit of WrestleMania 8 in 1992 with a meaningless 8-man tag, ladies and gentlemen, featuring the Corrs. I've got it in my notes with 5 R's. They consist of Wade Barrett, Ezekiel Jackson, Heath Slater, and Justin Gabriel. They are facing The Big Show, Kane, Kofi Kingston, and Santino Marella. Sean, the Corrs are a real who's who of 21st century WWE.
Yeah. So let me. I'm definitely gonna get heat on this one a little bit, not because of the match rating. First note I made is I absolutely love Santino music. I don't know how you guys feel about his theme, but Santino always made me laugh. I said, what a great use of your Intercontinental and Tag Team Champions at your biggest show of the year. And then I said, really just a waste of time, except for Kofi, which is a much better spot for him in this show than main eventing WrestleMania 35. So you can go ahead. I'm throwing that shit take out for you guys tonight. There's your shit take. How's that? Yep. All right. So hey. I give you a freebie on that one.
There's the Lenny Lane Award wrapped up.
Well, yeah, I had to make sure there was one because I feel like we're going to agree on a lot of stuff tonight. I did pop for Zeke clotheslining Big Show down. Zeke, I wrote down great value Monty Brown because there is no better Monty Brown, but he is great value. And this is just your typical get all the guys on the card match, and unfortunately, it's at the expense of two of your sets of champions. So I went a big fat dud.
Jake, I can only apologize to Sean. I mean, I'm surprised it's taken him this long, to be honest, to say something. But yeah, this was 5 minutes of your life you're never getting back, I'm afraid, this match.
Let's remember, 8 years from this match, he is main eventing a WrestleMania for the world title. That's all I'm going to say.
Thank you.
Yeah, I feel like Sean's just working the gimmick. I think he's
trying to get the awards. I'm really not. I'm not at all.
Come on. I like that you're saying is if eight years is not long enough to like build yourself up, like you're like 8 more years from now we'll be in the main event. It's like, yeah, that's plenty of time to elevate yourself.
No, because he was in this role for a long, long time. Not just anyway. Move on, Jake. You're fine.
Let our guest speak, Sean. Shut up.
Correct.
let's be nice, Sean. Come on.
Yeah, but it was a squash. I had the same thing, basically, as Sean, besides his shit take was but about the match itself. I went a star on it just because it was kind of it's okay. I thought, you know, the faces got their stuff in. But like y'all, like Sean had said, like I said, I wasn't watching at the time. And I've legit never heard of the Corrs in my entire life. This is my first experience seeing the Corrs. And they come out with all these belts, and I'm like, okay, I guess this will be. And like we said earlier, the entrances for this were really got quite a bit of time, like especially like Kane and Shogun entrance. Then Santino gets his own entrance, and they have to walk that giant ramp and everything. So I'm thinking, you know, this might be like a mildly competitive match or like a real match because these guys come out with titles. And I'm like, well, I don't know them that well, but I guess they all have titles, so maybe they're legit. And they just come and, like, get cream. So it's like, what the hell's happening? Like, you think they're going to, like, be worthwhile, but then they just get, like, squashed, basically. So it's real weird vibe, like Sean said. So I want to star, just an opportunity to kind of pop the crowd. And I guess it was weird because it felt like a cool-down match, even though the match we just had was in no need of, like, we did not need to cool off from that. But it's kind of what it felt like.
Well, thing is, you've got to listen to what Michael Cole says, Jay. You know, they are equals in the Corrs. There's no leader. I don't quite know. How did this gimmick not work, Logan?
Because it had Heath Slater and Justin Gabriel involved. Yeah, but Jake said something about the ramp. I didn't comment at the beginning of the show, but the stage and setup and the ramp and all that is freaking awesome on this show. But I have two notes on this match, and one is SOS, I beat up Shelton. And then the other one The other one is, what a fucking pointless match and a complete burial of the IC and tag titles. That's all I have to say. Dud.
Yeah, I went a gentleman's half a star, but I could be persuaded to go down to dud. But yeah, I'm with you on the entranceway, because it's not like that comedy long entranceway. I mean, it's long, but it's not like the ridiculous level it got to. So yeah, you can actually, you can actually do a little bit of talking and, you know, not like have to read War and Peace in between the entrances. So that was quite nice.
I will see about that.
I know what you're getting to.
Those guys can get a 3 foot long ramp, and they're gonna get their shit in with their entrance, as we're gonna talk about in a minute.
After the match, we go backstage to The Rock and Eve, who is apparently our new Divas champion, speaking of not knowing who the champions are, and they're having a chat about creating WrestleMania moments and how The Rock is an expert at that sort of thing. He says he can make a WrestleMania moment with whoever is the next person to come round the corner and talk to him. That person ends up being Mae Young, who is still doing the old woman, the old pervy woman gimmick, and she's even older now, bless her. But they even make a joke about Mae wanting the people's strudel. Mae and Eve leave together, but not before Mae slaps The Rock on the ass, and let's face it, who hasn't wanted to do that in a while? I'm sorry, that's out loud. Rock tries again with the wait for somebody around the corner gimmick, and he turns around, and this time he gets Stone Cold Steve Austin, and they stare eye to eye, doing a bit of fighting talk, small talk, but agree to shake hands, and that is the real payoff and the real WrestleMania moment. Even somebody like you, Sean, must have thought this was quite cool.
Oh, no, I totally did like this, except, I mean, I didn't like the stuff with Eve at the beginning because it was scripted, but once Mae got into it and called her Divasaurus and, you know, talking about Moses Strudel and Adam and Eve, I was dying laughing. I thought that was good Rock, not the scripted stuff we saw earlier. And I absolutely did like the Austin and Rock moment. I did pop for that quite a bit. So definitely some good stuff here, minus Eve being in the stuff.
We then go back out to ringside, and it is time for our fourth match of the night between Randy Orton and CM Punk. And Logan, I don't know about you, but it was always good. As good as Cult of Personality is, it's always good to hear a bit of This Fire Burns.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'm gonna have a shit take. This might win the Lillian Award, honestly, but I actually like that music better than Cult of Personality, but that Ooh. Might just be me. So
I might have to be the shit take just by osmosis, not because it's really that bad of a shit take, at least for me.
Yeah.
Because mine's way worse. I know that, so I got to pick one.
I'll take it if I win that one, but that's just right. A personal opinion.
I'll stick with Logan. We've mentioned Chad Campbell already. He would have loved the limb work in this match because Punk absolutely went to town on Orton's leg during this.
Yeah, I definitely made the note at one point that Chad perked back up during this match as Punk works over Randy's knee throughout the match. So, Chad was all ears during this match. But I love that they in the video package before the match, they kind of tied the rivalry back into where Orton cost Punk the World Heavyweight title during his first reign when he punted him backstage, so he never even got to compete in the match where he was defending his title. And they also, in this storyline, he punted every one of the new Nexus members before on the lead up to the WrestleMania. So I always thought that was a pretty cool storyline. And he actually punted Husky Harris so hard that he became Bray Wyatt. So we have to thank Orton for that one. Punk's such a good douchebag heel at this point. He kind of mocks Randy limping at one point like a dick. So I really like that part. There's a superplex from Orton at one point that's freaking great. I thought it was really awesome looking. And then unlike Edge in the first match, Orton sells the hell out of his knee. So Orton really made Chad Campbell happy in this match. But I love that he kind of His leg gave way when he went for the punt towards the end of the match, but and I love that Punk was slick enough in escaping the RKO the first time, but immediately kind of falls into the trap of getting hit by it when he does the springboard elbow, or tries to do the springboard elbow, but gets hit with the RKO, and that ends up being the finish. But yeah, really strong match, really strong selling of the leg and working on the leg. I went 3.5 on it.
Excellent. Jake, like Logan said, excellent limb work all throughout, and that finish was fantastic with the RKO out of midair.
Yeah, and like we said, if I would have been Chad Campbell in the Georgia Dome at this point, I would have been like Pee Wee Herman in 1991 with this limb work in the stadium, because it was fantastic. It was really, really well done.
You would have been like, working a limb yourself.
Yeah, exactly. I've been working my limb. But, yeah, they have great chemistry, too. It's not really a pairing I've thought much about. And, man, especially Punk, he just stands out so much. You kind of see why things went the way they did. Because he stands out like a sore thumb in a good way in this. Like, he just does all these little things. Like, he has good facials where, like, we didn't talk about earlier, but, like, Edge is sort of known for this, maybe not always having he can sometimes have some kind of over the top, like selling of like what's going on the match and stuff. But I thought Punk was real good here. He did he was able to do the like shock that the guy kicked out face without it seeming tropey and dumb. He like actually looked natural and he didn't stall too much on it. And like Logan said, Orton was really good selling the leg. He walked the line of doing well where like he would fire up so he could get his offense in. So he would kind of no-sell it at times, but then he would fall back on it. And you could kind of sell it as, well, it's adrenaline. He's going to be able to do something. So it worked out well for me. And just Orton being able to kind of right the ship. And that awesome finish with the RKO. Yeah, it was overall just a really awesome match. Like I said, they have fantastic chemistry. And the build-up to it, being as somebody has no idea what the base of the feud was, it was a good video package. And I love Punk, like holding a grudge for 2 years, like it's because you punted me 2 years ago and I haven't forgotten about it. I think it's a really cool motivation for the match. And I don't know, something about this match just seems so legit. Like, it had heat behind it and it was well worked. The crowd was into it compared to some of the stuff we've seen earlier in the show that came off a little flat. This was really good. And I almost wish they could have had a little bit more time. I know it got a good bit of time, but I think if you give this even more and let them really build it up even more, I think this could have been even better and like a legitimately like a classic match. But as it was, I went 3.5. It was awesome. It was like the first match where I was like, all right, we're cooking now. This is good.
Yeah, I mean, I love this. I said in our chat, I was this close, you know, millimeters away from I genuinely was millimeters away from giving this 4 stars. So I went 3.75 eventually. And Sean, this is my shit take of the night. I think this is the best match we have watched in 11 episodes of this podcast.
Oh, man. Well, it's definitely better than the Kaz match, that's for sure.
What a callback. What a callback.
Well, you know, I by the way, I did admit that was a shit take, I think, and it might have been the last pod. I don't remember, but I did admit that was an all-time shit take. But I'm with you guys. I really like this match, and I forgot how good this match was, and I think Jake and Logan both said it. I really like that they went back to 2009 when Orton was a part of Legacy. Everybody remembers Legacy. What a time that was. But yeah, I thought that was cool. You know, and at the end of the day, it made sense because Orton cost him the title, but now Orton's a face. Back then, he was the heel. But Punk's motives made total sense. And then the other note I made, it's crazy we're only months away from the summer of Punk. And it felt weird coming seeing Punk come out to the other music like Logan brought up. But yeah, there was one spot where he did that. Punk did the running up the stairs, shoving into Orton's leg, which I thought like told a cool story and set up that limb work. And we already talked about Punk mocking him throughout the whole match. And the Anaconda Vice, I think, always looks really, really good. But yeah, I thought it was a cool finish. It made me sad a little bit because that ending move was just there to get a cool RKO moment out. But it did look really, really cool. And I felt bad for Punk because I was absolutely a CM Punk fan at this point in time. So I really liked it. And I went 3.5.
Was that I'm just thinking on the fly. Was that our first ever like RKO out of nowhere call by Cole?
It might have been. I'm not sure.
I'm thinking the only thing that might have done is when he faced Kofi that time in 09. It might have happened then as well. The other thing I loved about this match is how Punk was channeling the spirit of Bret Hart 97 with the ring rope, with the ring post figure four. I was all in on that.
And the Orton doing angle slam.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep. A fall-away slam, as they called it on commentary. we know what it is.
Yeah, we know exactly what
it is. So, at this point, at the halfway point of the show, we will take a quick break with me, Ben Locke, and Sean Kedlow, Crosland, and Jay Williams. We will be back on the other side for part two of Chicken Salad, episode number 11. We will be back shortly. So many different dials, cause I got more hits than a disciplined child. So when they see me, everybody barack, baracks. Man, I'm like a young gun, fully black, barack. I cry teardrops over the massive attack. I only make hits like I work with a racket and back. Look at my jacket and hat, so damn berserk, so down to earth. I'm bringing gravity back, adopted by the major. Hi everybody, it's Chicken Salad Express. My name is Joe Fowler, and tonight we will not be doing our usual merch store plugging, but tonight I will personally plug one of my favorite new podcasts with one of my favorite people. It is Extreme Resurrection with James Grunberg. How do you feel about Gruny, Hank?
Well, if he's associated with that Criscolo fella, that automatically makes him a shithead in my mind. If he gets merch before we do, I personally will do everything I can to make Criscolo's life a living hell. Get me my merch, man. Dang, Hank, I think you need to take a chill pill. While I call him in back down, I'm going to send it back to the boys on the Chicken Salad Express. Back to you, Ben, across the pond.
Hank's getting more and more angry, Sean.
Well, Scott keeps avoiding them, apparently, so I think Hank's had it up to here with him.
Hank, whilst you're there, have you met Jake before?
I haven't. How you doing, Mr. Jake?
I'm okay, Hank. How are you, Mr. Jake? How are you doing, Hank?
No, I'm doing all right. Do you like that Criscolo fella?
It's all right.
Well, okay. Fuck you, then. I don't like that anymore.
My God, Hank, he's a guest. I'm not that bad with our guest. Wow. Angry Hank.
Be nice to our guest, Hank.
Well, anybody that associates.
You know who I am, Hank?
Jake knows people, damn it.
Anybody that associates themselves with that Criscolo fella is a loser in my mind. So I'll see you guys later. Peace out.
I like Joe
better. Thank you, Joe and Hank. I can only apologize for him, Jake. Do you know?
He's a man. When he gets a chance like the Scolo, it's gonna be bad.
Man, he's increasingly gotten worse since SummerSlam '93. He's just gotten worse every episode.
We give him an inch, and he's taking a mile.
That's all.
He just wants that merch, damn it. Well, we all want that merch, to be fair. he's just more vocal about it than we are, I think. I hate to say it, gentlemen, but shall we go back to WrestleMania 27? Because, like, the worst is yet to come. We've had a couple of good matches, but I'm afraid the second half's not going to be... easy viewing for us, let's put it that way.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I'm about to get Hank angry, so
okay, just get yourself worked up, get yourself ready, take a drink, do whatever you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
We will begin though with Mean Gene Oakland and The Rock, who are backstage with quote unquote John Cena's number one fan, who turns out to be the aforementioned Pee Wee Herman. Rock asks him if he wants to be on Team Bring It or be a member of the Fruit Loop Troop. Mean Gene comes back into the shop, modeling all the scene aware. With Pee Wee then decides that he does want to join Team Bring It, and shouts out, "What the pee is cooking?" Sean, this was the worst kind of hackney scripted WWE shit.
Yeah, so remember what I said earlier, the scene with The Rock and Mae Young and Austin was great Rock? Well, we're going to revert right back to what we dealt with at the beginning of the show. Scripted Rock, terrible. Pee Wee Herman hasn't been relevant for 25 years at this point, except for wanking off in the movie theater, which is exactly why he's here. And this is god-awful. Just freaking awful.
Just say what you really think, Sean. Just, you know.
No, it's the truth. I mean, that was the truth. It was because he was wanking off in movie theaters that he's here.
Yeah. Yes. we then go back out to the arena, and we start our Hall of Fame class introduction to the crowd. This year's class in 2011 consisted of Abdullah the Butcher, Sonny, the Road Warriors, and Paul Ellering, Drew Carey, Bullet Bob Armstrong, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and I've got to do it, the headliner, the showstopper, and the main event, Shawn Michaels. Jake, apart from Shawn and the Road Warriors, not the best class, let's say.
Yeah, maybe, but I think Shawn and the Road Warriors are enough. Are like two top acts that are kind of enough to carry it. And I think as like a third and fourth level, I think Duggan's okay. I mean, he was huge. One weird thing is like, I never realized Abdullah was in the WWE Hall of Fame.
Yeah, what a weird ad, right?
Shocked me.
Yeah,
it was real too. Random. Like,
yeah,
but I thought it was okay because I think Duggan as like a third is fine. And Shawn Michaels is huge, especially like if you think it from their eyes of how big they think of Shawn Michaels and the Road Warriors too. I thought it was an okay class. Maybe the bottom, and even Sonny is a big deal. I mean, it's hard to deny Sonny. So I thought it was actually not the worst class you could have
had. I was going to say there's one thing we can all agree on, and that is 2011 Sonny. Oh, yes.
Still yes.
I'll have to have a look at that.
But 2011, Sonny, oh, definitely.
Yeah. 2011, Abdullah shook me a little bit because I wasn't used to seeing him not bleed, because all I ever used to see him do is bleed all over the place. So I would, Jake,
I
don't
been great
if you would have missed it all.
If you would have bladed. He should have bladed for like this thing. Just came out like it bladed.
I'm so sad he didn't have the fork.
Yeah, I wish he had the fork or the foreign object in his pants shoved in his head. Yes.
I always find it a bit disconcerting looking at his face, because you just look at the forehead and it's kind of like moly on Austin Powers. You know you shouldn't be looking at it, but it's all you can concentrate on is the forehead.
It's a train wreck.
I will say that of like as a Hall of Fame crew, maybe not the best guys in suits, because you got like Duggan looking kind of sloppy. Abdullah has such a strange shaped body that it's hard for him to rock a suit. So definitely an odd crew to see in suits for sure.
Absolutely.
And even Shawn's got his like mountain man deal going on. So even he looks a little in his gray ponytail. So none of them look like
I was gonna say, and his COVID eye. He's got his COVID eyes.
Full on lazy eye Sean at this stage.
It looked a little homely, that's all I'll say. Yeah. So they weren't necessarily dressed to the nines. There was no, they weren't the Four Horsemen for sure.
So after the Hall of Fame introductions, we then go to our next match, and I am going to go to Logan first about this match. It is Michael Cole versus Jerry Lawler, because I get the feeling Logan's going to be channeling the spirit of our last guest, Mr. Matt Souza, with this match, aren't you, Logan?
Yeah, I was going to say to quote him, and I'm not sure who actually came up with this idea, but this match made me main roster angry. So if you couldn't make this match any worse, Cole cuts a 20-minute promo before the match, and then the best part of the whole presentation of the whole 30 or 35 minutes that this whole match takes, Austin almost commits vehicular homicide when he comes out to the ring by almost running over Jack Swagger. That would have been great. This show, we haven't touched on it much, but this show is so horribly paced at this point. They do a 15-minute segment between every match, and they go to the commentators randomly between every match, and it's just so horribly paced, and I just can't stand it. And this match makes it even worse. They should have just done the coal mine stuff when he has him in the coal mine and he's kind of pulling him up against it. Lawler gets him into the ring and hits a few moves. But we have to watch Lawler sell the worst offense I've ever seen in the history of my life when I've ever watched professional wrestling. Cole working on the leg is the worst, most business-exposing piece of shit I have ever seen.
Playing the role of Sean Kidd tonight is Logan Crossley.
The one quote I got from this match was from JR, and I think this would make Hank proud. He said, "For the children, by God, don't pull the other strap down." This is a fucking ridiculously long piece of shit, and if I never see this again, I will be the happiest person in the world. Negative infinity stars.
You'll be pleased to know I did make a note of some of the time. So I got that Lawler came down to the ring at 1 hour 47 minutes into this show. So when your fifth match has started, nearly 2 hours into it, you've got a bit of an issue here. And Jake, it doesn't finish for another 20 minutes. So I'm going to say, with Cole's entrance and promo and all that bollocks, that this is 25 minutes of my life I am never getting back.
Yeah, it's so long. One thing real quick, when JR comes out, it really like cracked me up that JR's Titantron video is just like Oklahoma football highlights. Like, that's his video. He's like not even on it. It's just like OU highlights, which was funny. But yeah, it's such a slog. Like, and then I don't know if we mentioned we have Swagger, who they call the All-American American, which is fucking dumb. He has some terrible facials. Like I said, Punk is like the exception to the rule in the show. Swagger has some terrible facials. He looks like an amateur. Cool spot, like Logan said, where Austin almost like runs him down, which would have been insane live. But yeah, the thing about this whole match, like Logan said, it's terribly, terribly worked. It makes makes Jimmy Valiant look like Dean Malenko, Cole's offense here. But like, speaking of Jimmy Valiant, like, that's what I was thinking about, because like, it's Sean's favorite guy. But the one thing that even Sean always has to mention on Crockett Roll is that that Jimmy Valiant is over like crazy, and the crowd loses their shit. And the whole thing with something like this, first of all, you don't let it go 20 minutes and slog on for this long. But if you're going to do something like this, it has to have like heat, and the crowd has to carry it. And there has to be a heel that the crowd cares about, and they want to see him get his ass whipped. So one thing, Cole dominates the match, basically, and the crowd doesn't care about any of this. So it's just like completely frigid. Like, there's no heat to it. The crowd doesn't care. So it's just like 20 minutes of Cole like working the leg while the crowd, and it's like the crowd silence is even worse because they're in this huge stadium. So you just see this huge crowd, like stadium of people, like deafening silence while Cole does his like shitty offense. And so it's just like, it just completely doesn't work. It falls flat. It should be something that if you're going to do something like this, King comes in and like beats his ass, the crowd loses it, and it's 3 minutes long, not a 20-minute boring slug, like heatless piece of crap that this is. And I'm sure we're going to talk about even what the finish is after this. But yeah, it's a dud. I went dud. It's terrible. It's boring. It's heatless. It sucked.
We will get to the finish, but I'll give one small positive, Sean, one small positive, and that is I found Austin quite funny as the comedy ref during this.
Yeah, so I'm with Logan. It's funny you said that. I also went dud Xfinity on this. So we haven't mentioned Cole's outfit. So he comes out in Rick Steiner muffs, red hoodie, and red Spanx, right? So just a god-awful wrestling outfit, just terrible. Swagger, I still don't get Swagger today in AEW. He just looks like an awkward giraffe. I just don't understand him. He just looks like he just doesn't have the look of a wrestler. He's all hunched over with this big neck. I don't get it. I've never been
funny because wasn't like an amateur wrestler. Too. That's kind of funny.
Yeah, he was an amateur wrestler, but he looks like a giraffe. And then Austin, your second biggest star in the world. This is all you have for him at WrestleMania. And you can tell in this, he gives absolutely no shits about this match whatsoever. If I wanted to give one positive that I did like, and I might have laughed a little bit, was when he started ramming Cole's head into the coal mine and just going back and forth. That made me laugh quite a bit. But the ankle lock. So now we've had an ankle slam tonight. And we had an ankle lock, so I almost feel like they're trying to take pot shots at Angle for some time in this time frame for some reason, because having that ankle lock in this match is an absolute disgrace. I don't care who you are. And, yeah, this match sucks. Logan got angrier than I did at it, so I'm going to let him have that shine. But, yeah, Dud Xfinity.
Sean, get it right. It's the ankle lock.
I'm sorry. Ankle lock. Sorry. But, yeah, you're right. This match sucks.
I also liked how at the front of the coal mine, this you could tell how this is 2011 as well. Like, it had the Michael Cole's Twitter handle, his social media presence there. Mm-hmm. Did anybody else catch that? Yeah, and also, like Sean said, with Michael's outfit, does Michael Cole have like the worst tattoos in history?
Oh, Jesus! What
I was wondering, like, those are real. Are those real tattoos?
Yeah.
I was thinking this during the match.
I'm pretty sure they are.
Oh, Michael God. Michael Cole is a noted badass.
God. I thought they were like...
So fucking lame.
I legit thought they were fake to like get him heat. Like, they were lame tattoos to get him heat. That's amazing that they're real. I thought they were trying to get the crowd to hate him more.
And like the boys have already mentioned, and I'm going back to Logan, maybe like the worst finish in history in this match as well. That none of them have really talked about yet.
Yeah, I mean, Lawler technically wins the match, but I mean, just and if it wasn't long and bad enough, they waste 10 more minutes after the match deciding to go to the anonymous Raw GM and have fucking Josh Matthews talk about the fact that freaking Austin interfered, so it's a reversal. And literally all Austin does is push him. He literally did nothing else. I don't think that that's a disqualifiable offense, but yeah, just stupid. And it made it go on even longer, which made it even worse. So just an absolutely abysmal piece of shit.
If you're wondering how we managed to break Logan, this is how. Does any of you know the story, like why they did the dusty finish? Did any of you actually hear the story why they did it?
Because they're stupid.
Well, yeah, they are stupid. So this was obviously 10 years ago, and back then was the start of sport. You know, WWE matches being sports betting. So everybody was obviously, you know, lumping a load of money on Jerry Lawler to win the match, and this was somebody in WWE's way of getting the company back some money. So people from within the company were betting on Cole, and that was it. That was literally the reason why Cole won the match, so people could win some money.
Christ Almighty!
So we had stuff for like 25 minutes of that, just so you know. People could just win a bit of cash. After the match, Booker T comes into the ring. I mean, he was like the ultimate party crusher, wasn't he? Like, what business did he have in the ring apart from to take the stunner?
To take the stunner.
I will say though, he did do the great beer spit out of the stunner, which I always like.
Mm-hmm.
We then after this is all finished, we then go to the Access WrestleMania Week Report, which basically is where the WWE shows Access, shows the spelling bee, shows the golf tournament and the art auction, and also reminds us that Matt Stryker's still around. It was, you know, he was literally commentating like 2 months ago on pay-per-view, and now all he can do is auction off some artwork, which is nice, you know, good for him. Have any of you guys been to Texas? I mean, I've never been.
Yeah, I've been, yeah, in Orlando. Yep.
Whose autograph did you get, Sean?
Well, it's funny you mention it. I have a picture. So, before Access, I have a picture with Enzo in the whole hotel lobby. But at Access, I'm actually standing in the elimination chamber and get a picture with Booker T. Inside the chamber. Yeah.
Can anybody else beat Booker T?
Nope.
No, definitely not.
I also have a picture with Tugboat, or whatever you want to call him, Shockmaster, at the WrestleCon that year too.
I walk like 10 feet behind Josh Matthews before WrestleMania 30, so that's about as cool as I've ever gotten.
Whoa!
I didn't even say anything to him.
Bask in his glory, Logan.
and I think I've told the story in the chat about me making fun of Mandy Rose to her boyfriend, to his face, without knowing it was her boyfriend. I think I told that story a couple times too. Yeah, that was a highlight as well. Drunk Sean almost getting into it with her boyfriend.
Drunk Sean just ripping into people. No, surely not.
Well, he asked me what I thought of her as a wrestler. I said, I don't know, but she's pretty fucking hot. And I didn't even know it was her boyfriend. So, anyway. WrestleMania.
I can't believe Sean got into a fight with Otis. What a shock.
Of all the people, Sean.
Seems on brand.
So, before our next match starts, we find out that Jerry Lawler doesn't need to shower. He's going straight from the ring back to commentary, and we're going to have JR and the King on commentary for the rest of the night. Frankly, it's like 2001 never happened, and we're going back to the Attitude Era, so that will please Sean greatly.
my favorite time in wrestling.
And speaking of the Attitude Era, two of the biggest icons from that time period face off in our next match, as it's The Undertaker versus Triple H. I thought the video package was absolutely fantastic before the match. And Logan, yeah, we know we're going about time a lot on this show already, but the 8 minutes that those entrances took were, I thought, 8 minutes well spent.
Yeah, I was going to say, as poorly as some of the time's been contributed to this show, I said it was a great video package, and it was a cool but only slightly overindulgent entrances. So I like the entrances pretty well. These two guys, I can watch come out to the ring for as long as they want to. They've got my respect, and they can do whatever the hell they want.
I'll go to JC as he is the host of PTB NXT. This wasn't too overindulgent, was it? We hadn't quite got to the takeover stage yet.
Well, Triple H's, he did have a like a helmet thing on. They were pretty long, but yeah, they weren't bad, and it worked for WrestleMania for sure. It's the biggest show. I will say though, and I'm not saying it's their fault, but like we said, with the pacing of the show, I think you could feel the weight of those entrances, and we'll kind of, I think you have to weigh in the entrances with the, how long this entire deal goes from the entrances to the match to the post-match.
It is
quite long. And I think it particularly stands out because, you know, the rest of the show is so slow motion.
Would any of you care to guess? I actually made a note of how long the whole segment was. Would any of you like to take a guess as to how long it took?
53 minutes.
The entrance match and all that?
Yeah, everything all together. Yeah, from entrance to the end of the match.
26 minutes.
Like 50 minutes.
Jake and Logan are pretty damn close. 48.
Wow.
All in.
See, I didn't mind the entrance. I thought, to your point, the promo video song was really, really cool. And I liked Tune from Who the Bell Tolls was pretty badass. I liked it. I didn't mind the entrance at all being long.
The entrance part was fine. It was sort of the fact that you had the long entrances with the, and they were obviously going for the epic match, weren't they, Jake? You know, and it was just, they obviously were trying to go for that epic feel, but they just couldn't get to that, you know, next level, if that makes sense.
Yeah, this match, and this is it's going to be interesting to discuss, because this is one I've seen people go like near. I don't think I've ever seen anything where people say it's 5 stars, but I've definitely seen like the 4.5, 4.75, like all time classic match. And I would say maybe in the first like third of the match, I really like what they did in that. Like, they just come out. It's hard hitting. It's slow, but they do some good spots, and they kind of mix up a little bit. They do the spine buster through the table, the chair. Like, it felt to me in the early going like a match that I really love, which is the Batista match. I want to say Batista and well, really, Batista has great matches with both of these guys, but it kind of reminded me of those matches that I would say both, honestly, Batista and Undertaker and Batista and Triple H, because they kind of went for this slow pace, but it all the spots in the beginning were like really well done and looked brutal. But then I feel like as they get close to about halfway in the match, they just start going into like just the finisher stuff, and they do like a finisher or like some kind of big move and then stay down for a really long time, which I get. And I almost feel like they went to that too early in the match, and it kind of hurt the match a bit. And then they kind of move into the, I called it the stay down special, where Triple H is doing stuff. And he just keeps doing the stay down. And I feel like it kind of grinds to a halt a little bit. I guess my main issue with this is, and I'm not going to say like that whole part of it ruined it for me, but I kind of wish they would have saved that for further. Cause this is, I think this match, like we said, the whole package, but I think the match itself was probably close to about 30 minutes. And I feel like the last 15 of this, like probably the whole second half, is when they go to the finishers and then Triple H telling them to stay down and all that. I did like the finisher when Taker hits the Hell's Gate, wraps him in the Hell's Gate, because I thought they did a good job of getting across his like desperation. The Triple H pedigree, the tombstone was a pretty well done spot, but I feel like all that could have worked a lot better if I didn't feel like it hadn't gotten so monotonous towards the end. I guess my main point is I almost wish they would have done more of what they did in the beginning for more of the match, and then just kind of the last few minutes go for broke with all the finishers and stuff, because I'm not against that stuff. I think it could work. I just feel like they went to it too early, and the second half of the match dragged because they spent so much time on that. But I agree. I think they were going for the epic, and I always go with the one, and it's hard to separate the two. The one from the next WrestleMania, I think, accomplishes it a little bit better than this one. But I still went, which I know for a lot of people is probably underrating it. Aaron George, probably not. But I went 3.25 on it. But I like the overall vibe that they were trying to get. It's just I feel like they went too much for the big stuff in the end, and it kind of just dragged in the last 10 minutes or so.
So piggybacking on what Date just said, Sean, this felt to me like a really good 20-minute match. Unfortunately, it went about 35 minutes.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if it's a straight take or not, but I really did it. I did like this match. I guess the storyline made sense coming out of Shawn Michaels' retirement that these two would face each other next. And I know in our group chat with the show, I think one of the things Logan said, and I'm sure he'll talk about it, was, or maybe it was you, that you said you felt Taker was old at this point. And I felt like he wasn't.
That was quite me.
Yeah. You can talk about that. But I don't think he feels old here yet. I think when Taker feels old is when he cut all his hair off. And that kind of, you know, made the mystique go away for me a little bit. But I don't know. Listen, there were some good moves in here. The brawling, the start, tossing Triple H over the top rope outside. You know, Taker strode to the stairs on Triple H, and Triple H ramming Taker into the coal mine. I mean, both men can still go. And, you know, seeing Taker like take and get an arm throw from the top rope to the mat and then over to the top rope clothesline, it doesn't, I mean, I don't know. I don't think it felt old. I think it felt good. Jake brought up, yeah, there's some slow parts in it, but Jake brought up the Triple H tombstone, which I thought looked really, really good. If I have one downfall to this match, I didn't like the ending. I thought the triangle was kind of, after everything they put each other through, the one thing it just didn't make a lot of sense to me that the triangle was the end of the match. They had all these bells and whistles, and I feel like that finish came out of the blue. And but I did like it quite a bit, and I actually probably, this is actually my match of the night. I went pretty high, even over Orton and Punk. I went 3.75 stars. I really enjoyed it, and I know it's kind of a hit or miss thing, but like Jake, I see people saying 4 stars, 3 stars, and I guess I just don't understand why people wouldn't like it except for the slow parts, and maybe that's just me. I don't quite understand, but I'm sure Logan gives some context around that.
So like Sean said, Logan, in our group chat, you said this is the first time where you felt Taker was showing his age.
Yeah, I just feel like this is the point where I really felt like Taker started to look and kind of feel old, like an old man. I think when Sean's talking about he kind of feels more broken down at that point. Like at this point, he just feels old to me, and at that point, he's like old and broken down. So I think once he gets rid of the hair, he's kind of a disheveled mess of his former self.
Yeah, he looks like a senior citizen at that point. You're right about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But to begin the match, I'm glad somebody finally destroyed the fucking coal mine, so the coal mine's out of our line. But Taker really laid it all on the line early. He was taking some pretty crazy bumps. He gets chucked up against the guardrail at one point, and I mean, he just goes back first and just lays it all on there. So he was going for it early for sure. There was a brutal backdrop. I think Triple H was going for the pedigree on the table, and he backdrops him straight to the floor, and it made a pretty nasty splat. So that was a pretty brutal spot. I noted, I think Ben pointed this out in our chat, but there was a fan in the crowd that yells for Triple H to break Taker's neck. He tells him to break Taker's neck. And not a minute later, seconds later, when Taker's on offense, he's like, "Oh yeah, Taker, hit him with the guillotine, get him, man! Oh yeah!" But like,
he wanted that guillotine so much. Damn it.
I mean, he tells him to break his neck, and then seconds later is like, "Oh yeah, Taker, let's go." But Taker does the ridiculous over the top dive as always, and like, if he had gotten a little bit more rotation, he would have landed straight on his head, kind of like he did in the 25 match with Sean. I think that's the one where he almost lands on his head. But the spine buster through the table was sick. Like we said, this is the first Mania where I thought Taker kind of looked and felt kind of old, like an old man. And I know it's WrestleMania Taker. I know it's Taker at Mania, but him kicking out of three pedigrees, and especially when he hits two pedigrees in a row, is just a tad bit on the absurd side. And even kicking out of the tombstone, like, I know you don't want to lose his own move, and I don't think Triple H at all deserved to beat Taker here, but like, maybe don't go for the three pedigrees and the tombstone, because
that third pedigree looked really bad, by the way. Yeah, like it really was did. Terrible.
And, yeah, Taker was going like full final boss on Mike Tyson, wasn't he? Just kick out of everything.
Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna ask, like, how did y'all feel about that part of the match? Like, Sean, Logan, Ben, about all the kickouts, because that is something, especially like I think nowadays, is so heavily talked about because it feels like something that gets done a lot. But how did it play into the match for y'all? Like, did it bother you?
I hated it because at the end they did a simple triangle choke to end the match after all that other bullshit.
Yeah, it's just finisher spam, and you know, like, I don't mind that. I don't mind like 101 kickouts and like, you know, NXT overindulgent main events, but this is basically just two stones and pedigrees. And we mentioned it on the WrestleMania 17 pod, you know, how many of the last ride corner spots were there in this match as well?
Yeah, really. But yeah, that was my last point, was like the fact that they pulled out all the stops with all those other finishers, and this match ends on the freaking Hell's Gates is freaking lame as shit. And that brings this star rating down way, way down for me. And I just thought that was lame. And Jake, you pointed out the whole Triple H kind of telling him to stay down. That's where this match, like, they had me into that point, but that's the point where they kind of lost me. And then the ending makes it even worse. But I'll probably go with you, Jake. I originally went 3.5, but I think I'm going to lower it to 3 and 3.25, because it's good, but it there's something missing, and maybe there's too much of something that I don't like. I can't really put it into words or put it into a thought, but there's just something that's not there that the match next year has. It may just be that Sean's involved, I don't know, but there's just something not there for me in this match.
They were going for the great and epic, but it never gets anywhere near that. It just stays at good to really good. It never gets to that next level. You know, they were trying to sell like the gravitas and everything on commentary, but they just couldn't back the goods up at that stage. Like you say, where the year after with Shawn and the bells and whistles, the sell, that obviously helps things out a lot. But I actually did like the submission finish, because I did like the visual of Triple H with the sledgehammer. That's a really good visual, to be fair.
Yeah, it was a good visual. I think
when you spam all those finishers, you know, like when they've already each done their finisher so many times, at that point, it's like you almost like, I feel like, have to do something else, because then it's like, ah, well, four pedigrees put them down, you know, like, you know, like, it's like, at what point is it like, why did that one beat him and not the other one? So I guess that was my thinking, is that's why you almost have to do something different, because once you've already both done your finisher like three or four times, it's like, you got to do something else, or then it would feel like, oh, so he just needed to do the last ride again, and now he won, kind of thing, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we could have seen Taker pull out the pedigree, but I think his knees would have just shattered on spot.
Oh, my God.
He would have been dead at that point, for real.
Well, at the end of the match, Logan, as you mentioned it in our chat, that you wanted to mention the whole bit at the end where Triple H could walk out on his own 2 feet, but Taker had to have the help of some medical personnel and the medical cart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like I mentioned in the Cole Lawler match, this show is not well paced at all, and like as long as it takes for the match to happen, the entrances and all that, I'll give them the entrances, I'll give them the match. The match is fine, the entrances are fine, but like stretching this out this much longer just so you can put Taker on a cart and make him look like a broken man, and you can show Triple H with his big dick swinging it around saying, I may have lost, but I'm gonna walk out and watch Taker get pulled out on a stretcher. So I mean, it's just this is Triple H's ego stroking so badly, and it drags so much more than it needs to. I mean, you know, Taker can walk out and he can need the assistance of the refs, but like this is just Triple H just showing everybody how big he is, and you know, just stretching out this show even more than it needed to, and it was already cutting a horrible pace, and this makes it even worse.
It reminds me of when they had to take Yokozuna out on the forklift. Like, it kind of had that kind of energy.
I don't know about Jake or Sean. I can't speak for them, but I am loving angry, pissed off Logan.
Oh, you know, I've been trying to get him this way for a long, long time, and I'm very happy to see that he's graduating.
You're Emperor Palpatine in this situation.
There's always a method to my assholeness, and I'm just kidding. Yeah, but I do like that he's got a little bit of spark in him tonight. I enjoy it.
Yeah. None of us are saying this match is bad, because I went 3.5 on it, so we're all in that sort of ballpark. But yeah, I'm like Jake. I don't understand where anybody can go sort of 4.5, 4.75 on it.
Yeah, I don't get 4.5. I don't get it either.
It never ever gets anywhere near that level, or you know, never even, it shoots for it, but never gets anywhere near it. So our second to last match is, after, well, we had a pointless 8-man tag earlier on, we've now got a pointless 6-person tag, pitting Dolph Ziggler and Lay Cool, that's Layla and Michelle McCool if you can't remember, against John Morrison, Trish Stratus, and Snooki from Jersey Shore. My entire knowledge of Jersey Shore, I know this will probably get me kicked off place to be, stems from this one match, gentlemen. I literally know Snooki.
Same.
And I think there's a... I'll phrase that. I know Snooki, and I think there's a bloke called The Situation. That's my entire Jersey Shore knowledge.
Here, Logan, I'm a fan of The Situation. That's what I
No, I hate The Situation, but
so awesome. I'll go to Logan first. So my first note, Logan, about this match is, this is a match that got Morrison into a whole heap of trouble, because for some reason he thought Melina would be a better option than Trish ever would be. And also, how hot she is, brunette Trish.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. She's pretty hot. She's pretty hachimachi. She can have any color hair, and she's pretty hachimachi at this point and always. But yeah, Morrison doesn't want to give Trish a hug after the match, so he gets put in the doghouse after this one.
Yeah, I think he's gone. He's gone soon after this, right?
Oh yeah, I think him and Melina are both gone within like a year or so.
Yeah,
this pretty much seals his fate. So, I love that Snooki's boots are basically Uggs in this match. That's kind of what they look like to me. But I thought Michelle McCool and Trish Stratus would have been a pretty good matchup if both of them were kind of in their primes. But so that was a cool little matchup that they had in the middle of the match. But Snooki slapping the shit out of Ziggler to begin the match was pretty great. And she busts out a back handspring at one point, and I completely forgot about that. And it was freaking awesome. And that was the best part of the match for sure. But you know, this is basic, just a celebrity match, just to kind of put her over for a little bit. But I was a big Jersey Shore fan, but she didn't really belong in the wrestling ring. But I gave it a half star. I gave it a half star for the back handspring.
Jake, people talk about the Muta scale for blood. Where does this the handspring elbow rank on the Muta scale of elbows?
The thing about it is too, and then she does like a little like unnecessary flip thing and just kind of then lands on, you know, but I thought
the meatball splash. For all the,
we've given this show a lot of crap, but I think, you know, not the match itself is obviously not some great match rate thing. I went like a star on it, but for its place in the card, how quickly they did it, I thought after that soup basically hour long Taker Triple H thing, just to give the crowd some kind of a breather, something that was a little more fast paced and lighthearted, kind of not lighthearted, but you know, not really like, you know, not some two guys trying to put on some epic, get to see the like Snooki come in and do something that resembled a wrestling move. The Trish and Michelle McCool kind of sequence was not too bad. You know, like I thought it was, it came in, it did its job. It gave us like a little bit of a breather. Like it's one of the few well done things on this show as far as like construction, to have this just real quick, little high energy thing to kill some time before the main event. I didn't think it was bad for what its purpose was. Let the people see Snooki. Jersey Shore is big. Why not?
I'll take your word for it, Jen. So Jersey Shore's big. Sean, as well as the match, quick question for you: Is there a worse named wrestling move than Starship Pain?
I'm sure there's others, but I can't think of it. It is pretty bad, but it makes me think of Starship, like the music group. It's just not. I don't get it. But anyway, you know, here's the thing. So we brought back Rock. We brought back Austin, and now we brought back Trish, and we pretty much brought them all back for shit. Why is Trish coming back for this? And it's just like you bring back all these big stars for this Mania, and you basically book them in just stupid shit. Now, what I did say is the match could have been a lot worse. Like, it could have been a lot, lot worse. Snooki doing the great Muta backflip thing was pretty damn funny. And I also made a note, she came out to Great Value, Whoop There It Is, as her theme music. And you, to your point, she was already wearing her outfit. But it could have been worse. It wasn't great. I went a half star. I'm kind of like Logan. I went a half star mainly because of the Muta elbow. But, yeah, this was not good. And, yeah, just kind of here to get Snooki as a star, as it appearing on the show, and at the expense of Trish Stratus. So, yeah, it's not great. Half star.
Yeah, I went a gentleman's half star as well. I tend to agree with Jake though that this is one of the better things he did on the show in terms of match placement. You know, nice little cool down match after like near hour long epic.
Yeah, I don't agree. So, disagree.
Yeah, you can disagree. You disagree with me most times, Sean. So
no,
fine.
I said I don't disagree. I agree with you.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, don't disagree. Okay, I'll let you off then.
I fumbled over my word. I apologize. I'm old.
Old double negative.
Uh-huh. getting schooled by the teacher.
Damn straight, y'all. So after the match, we have the announcement that the crowd is a record-breaking crowd for the Georgia Dome at 71,617 people.
Those poor people.
Including... Are we right in saying that, did somebody say Chad Campbell was there that night?
Yes, he was absolutely there.
Mm-hmm.
He's from Georgia, so yeah.
I know he's from round there.
Yeah, he was definitely there.
We get the announcement of the crowd, and then we cut straight into our main event. And Sean, on a night of great entrances, is this maybe the greatest thing the Miz has been involved in, this entrance for his match tonight against John Cena?
Yeah. So full disclosure, I loved Miz as the champion at this point in time because it was something different. It was unexpected. You know, he had a pretty good feud. He had some good matches with Morrison. He had some good matches with Orton. And I loved his, you know, fuck you people. You don't think I should have this. And he just played to that character so, so well. I loved his video package, which I think is an all-timer, even though, you know, most people don't. We're going to talk about the match, which isn't great. I do love this video package with Miz. And, you know, the I am not supposed to be here. Fuck you. I will call it. You hate me now. I just love this whole thing. I think it's really good.
Mm-hmm. And also, maybe second place in the entrances is Cena's entrance. I thought that was great with the gospel choir and the preacher. Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say, that totally took me off guard here. I thought that was very good as well.
As for the match itself, I'll stick with you, Sean. Like you say, it wasn't the best. Couldn't live up to the hype of the videos.
No, you know, it was really slow start, boring. There was headlocks and punches. And, you know, the best move in the first 5 minutes is a Miz clothesline through the rope spot that he does here in 2021. One thing I noticed about Miz in 2021 and 2011, his moveset hasn't really changed at all. It's like the exact same moves. So it's like you can watch every Miz match in the world, and you're going to see the same moves from him, which made me really, you know, at one point it looked like Cena was almost concussed because his offense is almost non-existent, and there's a weird spot where he falls face first on the rope, and it just, I don't know, man, the match just never got going, and I thought it was really, really bad, and, you know, I won't get into the ending too much because I know we're going to talk about that later, but I went 1.5 stars. This was a really, really bad WrestleMania main event, like really bad.
Jake, I mean, like Sean said, probably one of the worst main events in WrestleMania history to this point.
Yeah, and we haven't even talked about the finish, which doesn't, like, yeah. the post or whatever, man, whatever the hell you want to call what happens after the count out. But, like you know, kind of just said, so I do like the Miz thing in concept. The issue with it is, like, I think for it to truly work, he has to kind of back it up in the ring, and he doesn't. And that, like, we, like, doing the NXT pod, we've kind of noticed because, you know, really sitting and watching NXT TV in detail, obviously, especially early on, it's like a developmental territory kind of thing. And so you can tell a lot of times when these people are just getting started, they hesitate a lot. And we kind of noticed when people are doing that, and it seems like they're doing it because they don't really know what to do next, and they don't know how to fill in the gaps in the match. And I feel like Miz does this the entire match. He does a lot of stalling, but not like stalling where he goes outside the ring, but just like he hits a move and then he's wondering why he didn't get the pin, and he makes a bunch of faces. It's like he puts so much time in between everything he does, and I feel like it's because he doesn't know how to move from thing to thing. So he has to kill some time because he knows this is a big match. It's a long match, and they're going to have to, like, he's trying to make it feel big, but he just stalls so much. Like, he hits his finish and then Cena kicks out. And so he stalls some more and makes a weird face. And, like, he's just always doing that. And so, like you guys said, that it never takes off because he's kind of on top for a good part of the match. Like, Cena gets his stuff, but I mean, a lot of the match, the meat of the match is Miz on top. And like Sean said too, Miz has never been known as a guy who has like some, like, huge repertoire of moves, but I find especially here he looks very hesitant in everything he does, and it makes the match come off as, you know, very plodding. And also it's another example of a cute, you know, you could argue the biggest match on the card, and the crowd is, you know, for all those big entrances and everything they did with the choir and all, when the match starts, the crowd is like sitting on their hands. The crowd is dead for this match too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I want a star and a half like Sean, in case I don't know if I said that, but
Logan, like the boys have said, you could sort of take any Miz match from 2021 and you could put it almost here and it'd be exactly the same. He's not really grown as a wrestler, has he, in 10 years?
Yeah, I mean, I think he just has his style and he just kind of stuck with it and didn't ever really try to, like, blow it out of the water and make it, like, anything better than... I think he's just kind of an average wrestler. I mean, he's a good kind of guy to throw in there every once in a while in a big match, but he's just not... He's just, like, the... He's just a constant mid-carder, honestly. But I'm with Sean. I did like the Miz character at this point, kind of saying, well, y'all are saying I don't deserve this, but he did have a good match with Morrison on Raw. Mm-hmm. I think it was like a last man standing or a Falls Count Anywhere.
His match with Lawler wasn't terrible either.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. That's true. Yeah. Was it a TLC match or was it just a,
I want to say it was either a ladder or TLC, but I remember it being way better than it should have been.
Yeah, I was going to say, considering the two competitors, yeah, it was way better than it should have been for sure. And like I said, he had that good match with Morrison. But, like, Miz just isn't the guy to close the show at WrestleMania. I mean, like we've all said, the entrances were awesome. The Cena entrance with the choir was awesome. The Miz package and the balloon thing that he had awesome spelled out was great. But, my first note is, as awesome as the entrances were, this match was so dull. And the crowd felt the exact same way as I did, just was completely out of it. And, you know, it just never got anywhere, it seemed like. And the fact that Alex Riley is even involved in a WrestleMania main event, even as just a manager, is insane.
I forgot to mention that. I even wrote, oh, remember when Alex Riley was a thing? I totally forgot when I came out.
I will send you the screenshot, Sean, but I have got the same thing in brackets.
That's funny.
Yeah, he was wearing his bedazzled Letterman vest that he had on. He looked special for sure. But he hits Cena with a briefcase shot at pretty one point, and it makes a pretty nasty thud. I won't go into the whole restart thing yet because I feel like that's where you're about to go, Ben. But yeah, just I went 1.5 as well, but just dull. I think that's the best word to describe it. It was just dull, and it just never got to that next gear.
Well, as we proved on the last pod with the Mega Maniacs Money Inc., we proved the science behind the briefcase. put a brick in there, and it makes things 10 times as bad. But yeah, as Logan said, I will try and describe the finish to this match. So both guys end up on the outside, and Cena clotheslines Miz into the timekeeper's area. And then they clothesline each other over the top into the crowd, which results in a double countout, which I'm sure, and you could probably hear, the crowd were absolutely thrilled about. But one man from the back who was not thrilled about this was The Rock. He decides to come out, and you can tell he's being serious because the jacket's coming off. He's just showing the guns on the shirt. We then have an email from the anonymous Raw GM, which The Rock decides he's going to go and answer. And the email starts with, as Raw general manager, I think. And The Rock instantly replies back with, it doesn't matter what you think. See, I can't do it. It's all in the delivery, boys, and I haven't got the delivery. But that bit was funny. Trust me. Go back, watch that. That bit was funny. The Rock decides to restart the match and make it a no count out, no DQ match. And Sean, the match ends about 30 seconds later after The Rock hits a rock bottom on Cena and Miz gets a cover for the win.
Yeah, this ending, listen, the we haven't even talked about the Raw GM bullshit. I mean, what a freaking nightmare this was in 2011. And seeing The Rock, this is just dumb. You know, what I did like is, when Rock came in and rock bottom Cena, at that point you knew, like, I just thought he was going to be here for like a one-time thing. But at that point, when he rock bottom Cena, you know, they were going towards a match. And I actually thought Rock was turning heel here, and it was a big shock, big moment. I couldn't believe the Miz had actually won the match. And then of course Rock didn't turn heel because he got his heat back by, you know, he shit all over the Miz to keep him face. But yeah, big shocking moment here. I think that was a cool way to end it. A really bad main event. To kind of set up, oh my God, we're going to finally see Rock and Cena, which at the time was a freaking amazing thing to think about. So I thought, yeah, it was a shitty ending, but ultimately it sets up something for the future, which I thought was I guess I got to take a positive in that, I guess, because it sets up the next two Manias, really. So.
Yeah, I mean, Jake, Rock and Cena was one of the few sort of dream matches they had at that time.
Yeah, but the thing is, you could have set that up without doing all this stupid
correct.
Shit, too.
Mm-hmm.
You
know, like, correct.
You could just have Rock cost in the match or have Cena get, like, he's so caught up in Rock's presence that he, like, he's not paying it. I think that would actually work well, not to start fantasy booking, but because obviously Miz is like the underdog here because the whole thing is like, well, he's not worthy of it. And have Cena kind of make a mental error and be too caught up. Like, don't have Rock go into Rock Bottom. That's so stupid and lame, like such a lame finish. Like, just have Cena be distracted and like he can't get over Rock's presence, that Rock's watching him or something, and then he loses because of that. Like, don't have this all this dumb shit with the stupid laptop and then Rock just comes in and like gives Miz the win. It's just, it's such a lazy way to put this all together. Like, all I get, and I guess it's fitting because we all do this TNA podcast, but I was thinking, like, I feel like a lot of this, like, this what we have here is like, it reminded me, like, if you just gave TNA like $30 million to put on a big show like this, this is some shit they would do at their worst, you know? To like, it was like some TNA stuff in like a WrestleMania main event in a stadium. It was just, it was crap.
I mean, I, Logan, I went one star for the whole thing. And I'm not the biggest Miz fan in the world, but he was just treated like an absolute joke and an afterthought, wasn't it? It was like, we're hitching our wagon on the Rock and Cena, and basically, fuck you, Miz.
Yeah, he was like the 30th of third wheels. So, I mean, just like I said it with Triple H earlier, this is the point where the Rock brought his cock out and showed it to the world and showed how everybody how big he was. And like, this is the worst part of the Rock's presentation throughout this whole show to me. They immediately restart the match and he immediately cost him. Why even do that? Like, I understand if like, Cena had provoked him or something like that, but he restarts the match and then immediately Rock bottoms him. What was the point in all of that? I mean, just like Jake said, just distract him, or, you know, have Cena punch him or something like that to get him off of the, or accidentally run into him or something like that. Just have Cena provoke him somehow. Don't immediately restart it and then immediately hit the Rock bottom. I mean, it makes the Rock look kind of like a prick. And this is the point when Rock was like, oh, I have to be on the screen 5 more minutes, so let me go show how everybody how big I am to the rest of the world. So yeah, a lot of the post-match stuff in these matches just fucking piss me off, because like, you can end the match naturally and not just fucking stretch it out for 10 extra minutes. So this is the point where the pacing just really broke me down, and I'm so broken after this show, I don't know if I can watch wrestling ever again.
I can only apologize. I can only apologize.
No, you.
I made my final note on the whole show was, in the last episode of the pod, we had the Hogan Wankfest 93. This is the Rock Wankfest of 2011.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And that's the way I leave it. Yeah. So, WrestleMania 27 in the book. That's the end of that show. It's not the end of our show, however, as we've got awards to give out. And I will start with Jake. What was your match of the night?
My match of the night was easy. I went Punk Orton.
Logan?
Same. And maybe we should rename WrestleMania Wankelmania.
And Sean?
I went Triple H and Taker.
I went Punk Orton as well. I'll stick with Sean. Worst match?
Well, no brainer. Lawler and Cole.
Logue?
Yeah, Lawler and Cole will be the worst match we've ever watched forever and always.
Is it a clean sweep? Because I went Lawler and Cole as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's a legit argument for maybe the worst match they've ever had. It's in the conversation.
Well, I went, when we reviewed Halloween Havoc 98, I went -5 for Warrior Hogan, and this joins it at the -5 level. Logan, so our next award, most surprising match of the night, and that is and that goes either way, so either surprisingly good or surprisingly bad.
Yeah, I went surprisingly bad on this one, and I went with the main event and how dull it was.
Sean?
I went Snooki match not being a dud.
Sean being positive, ladies and gentlemen, just, you know, just store that for all time. I'm in a bit of shock there. Jake, what, surprising match of the night?
I'm going to go with Bad with Logan with the main event. And then I didn't think it was going to be great or anything, but I thought maybe even like before the Rock stuff, it might've been a solid match, but it wasn't even like, you know, I don't think none of us even went two on it.
I like that pick, but I went surprisingly bad as well. I went for Ray and Cody because like I said, they could probably do a 3.5 star match in their sleep and it barely got above two.
A good one.
Our hidden gem of the night. So this is a match in that sort of 3.5 star range that people might have slept on, and I will go to Sean first.
So I picked two here. I actually went the opener because it's Edge's last match before he retires, and I think it's just a fun, cool match to watch and open the show. So is it great? I mean, it's not going to set your world on fire, but I also think it's kind of from a historical aspect. It's fun to go back and watch because I really enjoyed watching it. I haven't watched this show since the initial run when I watched it in 2011. And I also went with Punk and Norton because I forgot how good that match actually really was. So I went with those two.
Okay. Jake?
Yeah, I went with Punk Orton. And I think just to add, for the same reasons as Sean, but also just I think it's interesting to watch, like to watch this match and see – like Punk right on the precipice of the pipe bomb, and you kind of see why he needed to go where he did, because he's obviously definitely like on another level than most people on here.
Logan?
Yeah, I'd put Punk and Orton up there for sure. Yeah, that's definitely our hidden gem for tonight.
It's a clean sweep, and like I say, it's probably my entry into the Lane Award for tonight by saying that that was the best match we have watched in 11 pods. And I will stick with that. Logan, speaking of the Lenny Lane shit take award of the night, who are you giving it to?
There really weren't a ton of shit takes tonight. I won't lie, but I mean, just as a trope, I'll go with Sean with the Kofi Kingston stuff. So that's kind of a cop out, but I'll go with that.
There's nothing really else to add. There's nothing else really.
Yeah.
I'll go to Sean, see if there's anything else that anybody said that.
Nah, you know, Logan's take on the Punk song. I'm like with you. You know what? I'll disagree with you, and I'll say Sean's take on Kofi. How's that?
Bloody hell! You're growing. You're showing depth and being positive, Sean. We're changing to a new man. Jake, any particular shit takes we've given tonight, or have we been pretty standard?
Yeah, I guess I brought the positivity because we're all in mostly agreement here. I don't know, maybe I'm the great diplomat. I don't know, but I'll give it to Sean. Why not? First Kofi thing, but I definitely prefer Cult of Personality, but
It's not a big gap for sure. I just kind of prefer this fire burn.
Listen, guys, in full reality, we all agreed on everything because the show was shit. So let's just really be. So the shit has actually brought us together tonight. Let's just leave it at that.
we've got the fashion statement, Sean. Who are you giving that to tonight?
You know, I've had to think about this. I had to go if I wanted to go with something really bad like Cole's outfit, but I actually went with the Ray Captain America cosplay. I thought that was pretty cool.
Okay. Logan?
Yeah, that's what I went with too. Ray's Captain America outfit.
Jake?
So actually, in the spirit of the show, I went with like a negative fashion statement, and that would have been like I mentioned, for the Hall of Fame, not necessarily a bunch of guys who look fantastic in suits, like Jim Duggan. Abdullah's
one, yeah.
That's awesome.
I've got two. One good, one bad. So my good one has been mentioned, which is Ray's Captain America outfit. I think that's probably the best of his. That one and the Joker are my favorite of his superhero.
He's got a Flash outfit. One that's really good too. I like the Flash. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And my other one, I didn't mention it during the match, but when The Miz comes out. You could tell he's been on the fake tan. So he's basically, his skin tone is matching that jacket he's wearing. So you're not quite sure where the skin starts, where the jacket ends, and all that. Our final award is obviously the most important award of the night, and I will go to Jake first. Would you say this is chicken salad or chicken shit?
It's easily, you know, this is a rare show where I feel like it's like lesser than the sum of its parts, and we did have a few pretty solid matches. You know, we liked the opener. We really liked the Orton Punk match. We all liked the Triple H Taker match okay, but it's everything else. It's just so horribly paced. Like, it's not an easy watch because it trudges by. And it also, it's not something we've talked about, but two, I feel like they're at the peak of like Sean kind of mentioned it with the Rock stuff being really scripted, but they're like at the peak of just wanting to be as like mainstream. Like, this whole show has this, like, I don't know how to say it, like, corporate sheen over it where everything is just them trying to, like, they, at the beginning of the show, they say, this is the biggest event in pop culture. Like, they're trying so hard to be mainstream and accepted and kind of make everything so dull and kind of bland. And I think that hurts the show, too, besides all the wrestling stuff we talked about in the pacing of the show also. So, yeah, I'd go shit easy.
Sean?
Yeah, you know, we got three matches on here that I think are pretty decent, but the rest of the show, we brought up the pacing, the use of The Rock, the use of Stone Cold, the use of Trish, you know, the Lawler. I mean, I don't know how you can pick anything but shit. This is shit.
Logan, like Sean said, so you've got three matches over three stars out of an eight-match card, and we're all pretty much saying it's shit.
Yeah, I was just saying, if you had asked me after the first four matches, because I felt like it was moving well, pretty well along and pretty good, other than the opening promo. But if you asked me after four matches, I would have said salad easy. But the rest of the show and the rest of the promos and the backstage segments and all that, if I go to Twitter complaining about how bad a show is, you know it's bad, because I don't hardly ever tweet. I'll retweet when somebody else says it, but if I go to Twitter and tweet about it, you know it's fucking bad. So this gets shit, no doubt about it.
I'm with you all on that. We have our chicken salad league table. I'm not going to where we basically put all the matches or all the shows, I should say, that we've reviewed. I won't go through them all because there's ten shows obviously on there. WrestleMania 9 was number 7 on our list. So is this going above that, meaning it's shitter than WrestleMania 9, or below it?
It's definitely below. You mean as far as worst? Worst is above,
yeah.
Right?
So yeah. Worst. Oh, yeah. So it's, worst. It's, so the oh, worst yeah. is the yeah. worst is number 1.
Yeah, it's definitely above.
It's above No Way Out 03 too. It's correct. Between No Way Out 03 and Royal Rumble 06.
So it becomes our new number 6.
I agree. Yeah. I agree.
That's fine. All right. Obviously, at the moment, we're not sure what we're going to be doing next month, unless Logan's picked something that he's optimistic about because of the whole Peacock NBC move. Logan, are you going to reveal your show, or will we decide on the night?
I haven't decided yet. We might dip into the TNA category just because we hadn't done that yet. But
because we haven't watched enough chicken shit from that pod.
Yeah.
We're gonna rewatch weekly pay per view number 110. I'm just kidding.
I smell Victory Road 2011 coming.
Yeah.
Ooh.
We'll see.
Feel that date glow jizz. Oh.
Yeah. But we'll have to see. We might dip into TNA because we hadn't gone there yet. But with all the Peacock stuff, I couldn't think of any show to do off the top of my head. But we'll see.
Yeah, we don't want to commit to a show because we're not sure even if it's going to be available.
Absolutely.
But we will be here next month with something. That's we're committing to that.
Absolutely.
What it is, we just don't know. As we mentioned, we are recording this ahead of time because obviously Sean needs to have these 3 weeks now to check out those retirement homes in Florida. So Jake, I'll go to you first as our guest, with your plugs. If you want to tell people where they can find you on social media and what shows you're on.
Yeah, first, thanks guys for having me on. It was a lot of fun. It was at least, you know, even though none of us enjoyed the show, it was at least interesting to watch a time frame that I'm like not super familiar with. So if at least if nothing else, it was most of this was new to me. But yeah, on social media, I'm Jumbleye_Jake on Twitter. You can catch me, of course, on Highway to the Impact Zone with all of you guys, as well as PTBNXT on the Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed and over on the North South feed. You can find me on the Ruthlessly Aggressive podcast, which by the time this comes out, I'm thinking will probably be hitting SummerSlam 2002, so which will be a big one.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes, thank you. Thank you very much for being on, Jake. And like I said at the top of the show, I don't know if Logan and Sean feel the same. Have you noticed that with our guests so far, they always come on with sort of this hope and optimism, and then by the end of the show, we've crushed their spirit.
We're so sorry.
Rory and Matt, it just follows exactly the same trajectory. Mm-hmm. Logan,
when
how
that,
about
when
you?
When that laptop went off, I think when the Raw GM showed up, I was like, that's when I started like going downhill.
Logan, where can people find you?
I'm at Highway PTBN on Twitter. I have Highway to the Impact Zone with all you guys, of course. From Square Circle to the Silver Screen, we'll have its newest episode up by the point that when this comes out. I think we're doing the Scorpion King with The Rock, so I get to continue my rock viewing. And then I think I'm on an episode of Making Mount Rushmore coming up, and I think I'm actually going to be on the Go Home, the Ruthlessly Aggressive. So, and then I have a Piece of the Action appearance as well. So all of that will happen before this comes out, but that's what I have coming up.
And Sean?
So, yeah, you can find me on Twitter at NWA Crock and Roll. And by the time this comes out, I've already announced it, but we are going to take a little bit of a hiatus. After our Starrcade 85 episode. So if you want to go back and listen to the month of March, really great stuff. We had a Nikita Koloff interview. We had a Starrcade 83-84 watch matches from there that Jake joined us for. And then our final was Starrcade 85. We kind of built up to it for the last 8 months. And we had Scott Criscolo on there. And with the whole Peacock situation, we kind of decided after Starrcade 85, it was kind of good to as probably like a good season finale, and we'll come back in the fall and start right back up in the month of December. So we'll take a little bit of a break there, but you can obviously find me here. You can find me over on Highway to the Impact Zone. And you can also find me with Scott Shiflett doing a show over on the Pop feed called Battlestar in the 25th Century. By the time this comes out, I think we'll probably be on episode number 5 at that point. So if you have not listened to that show, go and listen to it. It's really an hour of us live watching an episode of each show, and it's freaking riot as I take Scott through it. He's never seen it before, and we just poke fun at the ridiculousness of it, and yeah, we just have a good time on it. So if you haven't listened to it, give it a listen.
Yeah, and I just want to second that Nikita Koloff interview, mate. That was excellent. Yeah. You did a brilliant job.
Thank you.
And you know how much that pays me to give you credit.
Absolutely. But if you're gonna do it, stuff. It should be if you're gonna do it, it should be on that. But so thank you.
So you can catch me on Twitter at BenL931. There will be a new WrestleMania themed episode of the Special Relations out there. Me and Miranda are recording a new episode of TeleNT, another bite-sized edition where we go through all things WandaVision. After the excellent job that the Pop Goes to the Couch Boys did episode by episode, we're just reviewing the season as a whole. So there'll be that. And there might even be a chicken salad themed pod on the Pop feed by the time this comes out. Who knows, Halo? Who knows?
The untitled Watch Along podcast.
That's the one. That's the one. So that's it. That hopefully will be out by the time you hear this. If the powers that be allow us. So, for Logan Crosland and Sean Kidd, thank you so much to Jake Williams for joining us here for episode 11 of Wrestling's Chicken Salad. And remember, everybody, in a world where you can be anything you want to be kind. Thank you so much for listening. We will be back next month with something. Who knows what? But we definitely will be back, and we will see you next time. First rapper to bring a
chest. Money is power. I got millions of dollars on salary. Do it now. You can hate me now.
I won't stop.
But I won't stop now.
Can't stop.
Cause I can't stop now.
You can hate me.
You can hate me now.
Do it now.
I hate you too. But I won't stop.